Looking to celebrate this coming Thursday, but just not feeling it for Halloween? Well, consider costume-optional Dark Matter Day festivities. Joining me to shed light on this episode of Sky Talk is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, is it also matter optional?
It's almost matter optional. It's just 4% matter optional. As it turns out, as we look around us and look out into the universe and we see all of the stuff that's there, the planets, the galaxies, the stars, all of that stuff, of which there's quite a lot. Well, that really only comprises 4% of the entire composition of the universe. The other 96% is dark matter and dark energy. So it really does place into context the idea of a dark matter day, because we really should try to do better to understand what most of the universe is about, given that just 4% is the actual stuff that we see.
But if we can't detect it, how can we even inferentially know that it exists?
Yeah, this is a really wonderful question, because you would assume that for it to exist, to know it exists, you'd have to see it or be able to detect it. Vera Rubin was an astronomer who looked at galactic structure and motion. And one of the things that she identified is that galaxies seemed to behave in very odd ways that would make sense if they had more mass. Well, what she discovered was that many, many galaxies seem to be exerting much more gravitational influence than their mass indicated. So she posited that there must be some unseen mass, some unseen matter that was causing this. And we now have come to identify that as dark matter, and we find it everywhere.
So let's think galactically. We've recently detected spiral galaxies much like our own, but much, much, much bigger. Does that offer evidence of dark matter and energy at play?
Well, as it turns out, we've been able to identify, as you said, these galaxies that seem to be so much bigger than any other normal-sized galaxy. For example, our galaxy is 100,000 light years across, and that's a really good size for a galaxy. That's pretty hefty. We're now talking about galaxies that measure 180,000 to 440,000 light years in diameter. That's enormous. That's absolutely gigantic. We find that these galaxies themselves don't show us enough matter to account for the incredible high rate of spin they have. These galaxies spin 3 times faster than our galaxy does. But we have to now think, if a galaxy is that big, spinning that fast, we don't see enough matter to be there, what could be causing that? And this is where dark matter plays a role in the rotation rate of these gigantic galaxies.
And so back to the festivities. How can we honor these calculations in this day?
If you go to darkmatterday.com/events, you can look to see if there are any of these events happening anywhere near you. But don't be surprised if on that day things seem to pop in and out of existence in the universe.
On a local level, it will start to get darker earlier.
But that's not related to dark matter in the universe. That's actually related to the Earth's motion around the sun. Next Sunday, November 3rd at 2 a.m., we will move our clocks back 1 hour and come back into Eastern Standard Time. And I'm sure we'll all agree it's a great thing to do, because right now it's a little disconcerting to wake up in the morning and find that even as late as 7 a.m., it's still fairly dark out. Sunrises are still coming quite a significant number of minutes after 7 a.m., and we'd like to see something different about that. And that will occur as we change our clocks back 1 hour. But just imagine what it would be like if we didn't adjust our clocks. That would mean that sunrise would be coming as late as 8:20 in the morning as opposed to 7:20 in the morning, which will evolve to as we move on down the line of the rest of the year. So just be prepared for that and enjoy the late sunsets that we're having right now, because once time changes, the sunsets will be coming much earlier.
But with that come earlier opportunities to gaze into the night sky. What's available to be seen this week?
We're in a wonderful period for sky observing, because just after sunset this week, the moon is going to try to catch up with Jupiter and Mars. So if you keep your eye on the moon just after sunset coming up on Wednesday this week, you'll be able to notice how the moon jumps up from the western horizon, first approaching Jupiter, then approaching Saturn as it makes its way around the sky in this new set of phasing that actually starts tomorrow. And in the pre-dawn sky, Mars is beginning to slowly make its appearance just before sunrise, so you can catch it at 6:30 in the morning, very low on the eastern horizon, and it will gradually move higher and higher in the sky as the rest of the year goes on.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.